So happy it's Thursday. Welcome. ESPN 1700 AM. It's the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. All of our past shows, pricelesshome.com, or also realestateradiohour.com, YouTube, and now iTunes. Just to get it out of the way, the helpline, 888-551-2593. In the studio, Miles Hubers, mortgage banker, 20 years in the business, right here in the area. Miles, thanks for joining us.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
And we're hopeful that Attorney Al, our resident bankruptcy expert, will show up. He's not here yet, but we're still hopeful he's going to make it.
You can't complain about the traffic out there right now. There was no traffic on the way in here. But I'm excited about having Miles Hubers on the show. Miles is known for actually closing $3 billion worth of loans.
$3 billion in loan amounts, which is about 12,000 loans.
12,000 loans. Less than 1% of all of the loan officers in the United States have ever done that.
That was my entire company, just me. So I can't take all the credit. That was 500-plus people.
Okay. Fantastic.
Nonetheless, you've done a few loans.
You've done a few loans.
So obviously rates are really well. The loans are a very hot topic right now. Loan officers are so busy in a lot of cases we can't seem to get through to them in some cases. So we're pleased to have you on the show. So tell us, what is the current interest rate today?
Well, you know, rates are kind of based on your credit score, which they call a FICO, and how much equity you have. But I haven't seen them this low. A 30-year fix is 3.125.
30-year fixed.
Yeah,
3.125.
That's for a loan under 417, which they call conforming. So they go up a little bit higher when the loan amounts are bigger, the jumbo loans. So it all depends on your credit score, too. The better your credit score, the better your price is.
There's conforming, then there's jumbo light.
Yeah, they call it super agency. So from 417 to like 695, and then they go jumbo, and they go all the way up to 5-10 million.
What's your jumbo rate today?
Once again, it depends if you're looking for a 30-year fixed, if you're looking for a 5-year fixed, or what kind of
rate.
30-year
fixed. Let's say we're 30-year
30-year fixed, you're talking about over a million, or what kind of loan amount? Just to quote rates is probably
$697,851.
Yeah. What's your credit score?
My credit score is 720.
Yeah, but that's running about 0.25% higher.
So that's it?
Yeah. Yep.
Why is there so much complaining about jumbo rates? So 3 3/8?
Yeah, well, 3 3/8 if you have good credit, and it depends on how much equity you have. So
yeah, of course. That's always going to matter, regardless of what kind of loan you get.
It also matters if you pay points or not. So, for example, a lot of people today on the jumbos over a million are 3.75 at 0 points. But those are people that have at least 25% equity and FICO scores over 760.
Now, from what I understand, the banks actually bring this interest rate retroactive all the way back to the $0. So from zero to $697,750 is the point in which it then turns jumbo. So that interest rate is retroactive all the way back. At what point does it make sense to actually have a second mortgage? Like, let's say that you wanted to get a house for $720,000. Would it make sense to get a jumbo light and then do a second mortgage? Would that make sense?
Well, each situation is kind of subjective. But when money's so cheap and in most cases it's tax deductible, I would borrow as much as you can and not go spend it, on a new Porsche or something like that. But maybe reinvest it. We can get a higher rate of return with less risk to diversify your portfolio. But, there are no money down programs. For example, VA is no money down with no mortgage insurance. Mm-hmm. FHA has as little as 3.5% down. And there's a new FHA access program, which is only 0.5% down, all the way up to $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, yeah, why not get, as high a first as you can and less of a second?
So an article out this week in the Union Tribune, it says, is this a season for buying? And obviously we're talking about buying homes. Mm-hmm. We talked about this a little bit last week. And normally through the holiday season, we see a decrease in activity in the real estate market. There's more football, less daylight.
That's right, less daylight.
Of course, Thanksgiving, more turkey, a whole lot more Christmas shopping to be done. All of those usually contribute to a decline in overall transactions. But in this case, that is not what's happening. It's actually, well, increasing or at least not decreasing. And what they're seeing here is that normally there's something like a 26% drop in activity, transactional activity through the winter months, the holiday months. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing something of an increase of 5 to 6%. And that's not of necessarily of value, that's of transactions. But I think it's evidence that the market is being driven by interest rates. Really, without interest rates as low as they are, and you mentioned conventional, what we call jumbo light, jumbo or some crazy jumbo for $5 million, they all kind of hovered around 3.5%. You know, give or take a couple eights here or there, 3.5 is excruciatingly low.
That's unbelievable.
And that is driving the market forward. Additionally, right now there are 4,700 active listings in San Diego for sale, which is down 10 to 12%. And so we're finding those VA, those FHA buyers that you're talking about, Miles, these guys are tough to get into a home.
Really tough right now.
Really tough.
In fact, we're in escrow with a buyer that is FHA, and it's only because of the relationship that I have with the listing agent. I called in a favor and said, hey, look, you know, we're getting beat out here. I guarantee this transaction, you know, we're a buyer that wants to live in this neighborhood, yada, 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 and we were able to get the deal. So there's a lot of transactions that are happening that are on the MLS, obviously, but I find there's a lot of transactions that are happening off the MLS. I mean, agents are putting houses up for sale. They put a sign in the front yard, and actually before they put them on the market, they've got offers.
We have two. In Oceanside, actually, they are rented. Good rental income properties. Renters want to stay. Mm-hmm. Have not hit the MLS yet. They're selling for $260,000, $270,000,
$280,000. One's at $265,000 and one's at $269,000. And one of them's a three. Both of them are single family houses. One of them is a three bedroom with a loft, and both of them are rented. And the tenants both want to stay. So they were in a trust, and they were assigned to us, and we're waiting on the death certificate before we can actually put them on the market and have it really be marketed. But meanwhile, you know, that's we're able to show them. But hopefully we can sell these properties with the tenant in place, keep them in place, because, frankly, they've asked us to stay, and I don't want to move them during Christmas and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we're looking for the buyer.
And what do they rent for?
One is listed for or rented currently for $1,595. That is the smaller single-level home on the cul-de-sac. It's only a two-bedroom. It's been rented for 4 years. And the second one is rented for $1,895 a month, and they've been in there for 3 years. So both of them, I think, are pretty good investments.
So 17, 18, 19. So we're looking at buying it for under $270 and having a renter in place for around $1,800. It's a family who wants to stay there. So there's our plug.
Well, let's do some numbers. I mean, Miles, you had mentioned that with the low interest rates right now, it may be cheaper to own a house than it is to rent one right now.
Yeah, I think in a lot of examples it is. I just bought a house in Campo. Pretty exciting. Right? this is an income property. I bought it for $75,000, and it rents for $1,400 a month.
Wow.
So that's a pretty good cap, right?
Yeah, it's great.
So it would be a lot cheaper to buy that house. You know, if you looked at what a loan would be for $70,000 at 3%, it would be way cheaper than, of course, you know, renting that house. To kind of give you an example, the low-end market, I think, you know, your guys' opinions, I think it's cheaper to own than rent because on a $300,000 house, it might rent for $1,600, $1,700 a month. You could get a $300,000 mortgage. If you went interest only today at 3 1/8, your mortgage payment is $781 a month.
Okay, so say that again, $300,000.
$300,000 loan.
Interest only.
Interest only.
And tell me my mortgage payment again.
At 3.125 interest rate. Mm-hmm. Okay, your payment will be $781
a month. $781 a month. And is this a conventional loan product or FHA?
No, this is just interest only. It's any. This could be.
So I got to put down 20% to
get. We said $300,000. So,
sure.
Yeah.
Is FHA going to be higher?
FHA doesn't have interest only.
And when we're talking about an investment property, what is the minimum amount down that someone's going to require for an investment property?
Most investment property loans are 25% down.
Okay.
I think where you're losing these to FHA buyers, because most of these cheaper properties are being bought by investors' cash.
Yeah, a lot of cash out there.
This article says 28% of the homes sold in October were all cash to non-owner occupied buyers. Investors, flippers, or people who want to hold and build their portfolio.
Sure.
But 28% out there, so that's one in four. That's a lot of competition for the guys that are actually getting a loan. And I had people that got beat out a lot when they were looking to do that.
But we actually discovered one in the Villas where he had purchased it. Was it down at the courthouse?
A short sale.
He purchased it as a short sale, rehabbed it. And we actually worked with a buyer that was specifically looking in that neighborhood, had been beat out a number of times. We went looking for that house. We saw the property was under construction, and the people that were there said that they were thinking about selling it. We actually contacted the owner's agent, put the deal together. The appraisal came in at $315,000, which was $35,000 lower than the contracted price that we had worked with our buyer on. The buyer ended up making up the difference in cash.
Made up a difference.
Because of this market.
He's in there now. The helpline, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. If there's anybody out there interested in an investment property, already rented, ready to go, buy it for around $270, rents for about $1,800 a month. Again, 888-551-2593. Give me a call. Leave your information on my voicemail. I'm on the air, obviously. I'm not going to answer. When we come back, we are going to get all the inside scoop about what you should know about the mortgage lending industry and answer all the questions you were too scared to ask about bankruptcy when we come back.
Welcome back to ESPN 1700, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Ryan White,
and David McKelvin. We are here with Miles Hubers, the mortgage banker for nearly 20 years, closed over $3 billion in loans with 600 loan officers managed at one time. Also, we've got Albert Gross, a bankruptcy attorney, in the studio today.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we went on break, we talked a little bit about buying a house and how much better it would be to own than to rent in today's economy. And, you know, one of the things we talked a little bit about off the air was if you have an interest rate over 4.5, 4.25, you ought to look into refinancing right now. I mean, seriously, because interest rates right now are 3.25%. Miles, chime in on this. What are your thoughts about?
Yeah, you could do a no-point, no-cost loan. So instead of going to 3.125 and paying a fee, if you go to a little higher rate like 3.5 or 3.6, then you have no cost. They pay for your title, your underwriting, your appraisal, and all your fees.
Wait a minute. What do you mean no cost? There's got to be a cost.
Well, you are paying because you're going to the higher rate.
Got it.
Today's rates are 3.125 and you go to 3.625, you're paying 0.5% more.
So slightly higher rate, nothing out of my pocket.
Exactly. So because of the higher rate, they pay for all those costs.
Got it. And the higher rate we're talking about, 3 5/8 now?
Once again, it depends on
FICO
score. Yeah. Conforming loans under 417,000, no point, no cost loans are right at 3.625 today.
Wow.
And they change daily, of course.
So really, if I have anything over 4%, if I have a rate over 4%, I need to be doing something about this.
Absolutely. You could get a free quote.
Well, why hasn't everybody refinanced already?
Wait. One of the things that comes to mind when I start thinking about this is that, look, I may be sitting out here thinking to myself, well, I don't qualify right now. I mean, we all know that it's gotten harder and harder to get a loan these days. I mean, what's happening in terms of the qualifying these days? Is it getting easier?
Well, you know, lending has gotten a little easier. You know, two things I think that we said are pretty important, Dave. First of all, a lot of people have been upside down. So if you're upside down, you don't think you can refi. Well, the government passed a new legislation called HARP 2.0. It's the Home Affordability Refinance Program. And you can be upside down now and refi. Okay? There's a website called ICanKeepMyHome.com that explains the parameters and the questions and answers on that if you want to. So as long as you're current on your payment, matter of fact, you could have missed one payment in the last year and you could be upside down.
Sounds too good to be true.
Well, it's government subsidized, and so we won't comment on that. But put it this way. If you've been making your payment, and a lot of these people are at 7% and they bought their house, let's say in 2007, and their houses today are, let's say they're worth $200 and they owe $400 and they're still making the payment. I think the overall consensus is if you lower their payment, they'll spend the money and that will help create jobs.
That makes sense. One less distressed homeowner.
One less foreclosure.
Out there,
one less REO.
For sure.
Right?
Well, you know, one of the things that got us in this trouble was the no doc loans, no verification of income, this sort of thing. Just, you know, have good credit and we'll loan you quite a bit of money. I mean, I saw people get $2 million homes in the same month because they knew that they were only going to pull one credit report. I mean, they were people trying to, you know, outsmart the system. What kind of safety precautions have been put in place these days to stop this sort of problem, you know, that we're in now?
Well, you would definitely think that the guidelines were too loose, right? No money down to $1 million, no tax returns, and they lend you $1 million with no recourse. So if the market goes down, your house goes from $1 million to $600,000, there's no recourse. People just walked. And I think that's the mess we're in. So there's a lot more guidelines, the Dodd-Frank Act and all the compliance there in place. But there are some no-ratio type loans again, but they've gotten smarter today because you have to have 30 to 40% down if you're self-employed or retired. You have to have a 700 FICO plus and maybe 12 months minimum cash reserves.
Seems like a make-sense loan.
It's
so
more makes
sense. No-ratio is the closest thing we have nowadays to no-doc.
Yeah, it's for someone who's self-employed that has a company that might gross quite a bit of money but doesn't have a lot of net profit.
So these tend to be higher-end loans, more money. More money involved, someone who's perhaps paid 1099, not a W-2 employee, that their tax returns don't show a ton of income, so they can use compensating factors like you're describing.
Yes, they're for self-employed business owners and retired people.
Got it. No-ratio loans is what that's
called. Ratios, which is somewhat similar to the stated income because people used to state their income.
Right.
But they might be stating their gross income but not their net income. But I think the guidelines were way too loose, of course, and that's the problem we've been suffering for 6 years now.
No ratio. That is really one of the things that's going to bring the upper end of the market back. The helpline, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. No ratio loans are coming back.
They're back. We have three banks.
Three banks. Now, you mentioned briefly FHA Access. Is that what you call it?
FHA Access program is for someone buying a home. And you can go all the way down to a 580 FICO. Now, would you, you know, and the program only requires a half of 1% down.
Half of 1%.
What it is you get 3% back from the government, okay, as a forgivable note over 3 years if you occupy the property. So it's 3.5% down, but you get 3% back.
After I close or during close, do I have to come in with 3.5%?
It's a forgivable note, so they actually you don't have
comes
to come
in. Comes in an escrow.
I come in with a half a percent. Better yet, Ryan, they give up to 6% closing cost credit.
Are you kidding me?
No.
6% closing cost.
6% closing cost. And that's one of the reasons that investors are coming in with cash are winning over FHA buyers.
Closing costs.
Because they can close in a fast time period. They can close in 10 days cash.
So let's say this one more time. FHA Access, a traditional FHA first loan, 96.5%. A second from the government for 3%.
3%.
That is forgivable after 3 years if you have a certain credit score.
Yes, 620.
620 and above. 620. If I have a credit score of 620 and above, I get a second loan for only 3 years. At the end of 3 years, if I live in the property, I don't even owe the 3% anymore.
That's correct.
I got to come in with 0.5%.
0.5%. Now, VA is no money down.
Sure, but not everybody's VA.
Right.
Right, of course. That's an elite group of people.
But there are people out there that are VA.
Yes.
And, you know, I think the challenge here is actually securing a property. I mean, with the lack of inventory now.
Let me add one more thing. We're still talking about the FHA Open Access. It's limited to people who make a certain amount of income. You take the zip code, medium income, and it can't be more than 120% of that. So you take the zip code, for example.
Good to know.
Yes. I was just looking at one of those in Orange County, and the income was around $85,000.
So it kind of seems like if I'm in the upper echelon and I can't necessarily prove my income, you've got a loan for me. We can do this no-ratio loan that will use other compensating factors to qualify. And if I'm on the total other end of the spectrum where I've got or don't want to put any money down and I'm buying a property I'm going to live in,
right,
kind of seems like you've got a loan for that too. And of course, everything in between, all the conventional, that still exists. But the things that are the most unique, that's really amazing. Half a percent down is crazy.
Yeah, it's a great deal. I mean, prices are down, rates are down. Most situations
prices are coming up, it feels like, and with the lack of inventory right now, it's somewhat difficult to actually place these home buyers.
For more information on the FHA Advantage Loan, 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. And I would imagine there's a certain sweet spot of income. Of course, I have to have enough income that I qualify for the payment, but not so much income that I'm more than 120% of the median income in that area. So there's a sweet spot I have to fall into.
And that's why they calculate that, okay? Because, you know, certain zip codes are more expensive to live in.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
That's why they take 120% of the median income in that zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, most of these loans are maximum of $700,000.
So someone that's interested, they need to find out from you what that is and see if they qualify from a perhaps having too much money perspective, I mean, which is a strange thing to think about getting a loan, but it's a possibility.
If they make too much money in a certain zip code, they would not qualify for the FHA access program.
Got it, but they could buy in a different zip code.
Yes.
Right.
So 888-551-2593. Again, 888-551-2593. We'll get you set up with Miles Hubers here. He will figure out if your income is right to qualify for the FHA Access Program. Also, no ratio loans, and frankly, everything in between. If you have a loan of 4% or more, you need to start thinking about refinancing. I mean, you've been under a rock for the last year, right?
Yeah.
Last 2 years. It's time.
Well, people might not have been under a rock, but I think a lot of people think to themselves, I'm upside down, I can't refinance. Or
bad credit.
Maybe my ratios aren't right.
Bad credit's been a big issue. Right?
Yeah. So with all of these programs that are coming out to stimulate the market, meaning they're loosening the guidelines, in fact, pulling away a lot of the guidelines regarding actually having equity or not, they need to call and find out. I mean, what we're finding is a lot of people
Dave, let me make it simple. Pretty much, you know, the basic rule of thumb has always been for 100 years of lending, you pretty much need to make 3 times your mortgage. Okay, but if you have more than 30% down and you're self-employed, then that's exempt as long as you have huge cash reserves and a FICO score over 700. It's pretty much that simple and that easy to qualify. Now, on the FHA Access Program, Ryan, the debt to income also goes to 48%, and I don't want to get too complicated with that. But if you have a FICO score over 660, it goes all the way to 48%. That means your total debt, okay, can't be over 48% of your taxable income. So if your mortgage is $3,000, you can't really go over half of that, which is, you know, $1,500.
Got it. So a couple extra percentage points you get with that.
Yeah.
Excellent.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Albert Gross, our local BK attorney expert, about how bankruptcy can affect refinancing or can affect purchasing real estate.
When we come back. Welcome back, 1700 AM, ESPN Radio, the Real Estate Radio Hour, with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. Miles Hubers, mortgage banker extraordinaire, thank you for joining us. He enlightened us.
You bet. Any more questions?
I am sure we will have some.
All right, thanks
for having me. Helpline, 888-551-2593. Attorney Al.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for being here, our local bankruptcy expert. Everything you wanted to know about bankruptcy but are too afraid to ask.
And the two things you didn't want to ask, right?
Yeah. So Attorney Al does a free consultation to anybody that's interested.
And it's subject to lawyer confidentiality.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. We were just talking during the break there. David had asked you how many people come in to file bankruptcy to stop foreclosure, and you said all the time.
Oh, constantly. It's a very big part of what goes on at my office. One of the reasons that people show up for bankruptcy consultations, for bankruptcies, is because the foreclosure is right around the corner.
Imminent.
Sometimes as soon as the next day.
And they show up and say, fix my problem.
And almost always we can, but sometimes sometimes it isn't the best idea. And, you know, like in many other things, procrastination works against you.
Yeah, certainly planning ahead a little bit on
absolutely.
That would, you know, perhaps put yourself in a better position. So how does bankruptcy stop? So whatever, I haven't made my payment for 2 years. I get all the notices and finally I postpone it all I can postpone and it's happening tomorrow. Now, what does bankruptcy do to postpone that?
Well, yeah, exactly. Postpone is the operative word because it can't stop it. And let's be realistic here. You haven't paid for the house when the bankruptcy's over. The mortgage company's foreclosure service can come right in and carry out the foreclosure sale. But the bankruptcy can delay it. A Chapter 7 bankruptcy can delay it up to, more than, actually, 105 days.
Wow.
A lot of times that's enough time to figure out an alternative plan. Second, if you've filed a bankruptcy, however, one of the things that they have to look out for is that the lenders can turn around and ask for relief from the bankruptcy stay.
Right.
That's the main thing you want to not see happen to you. The relief from the bankruptcy stay comes when the lenders say, hey, look, to the court, we're undersecured here. And so that's especially true where your house is upside down. We're undersecured here. We stand to be hurt. We'd like to speed these things up. And the bankruptcy stay ends. But, you know, basically, while the bankruptcy stay is on, the lenders can't send you a letter. They can't call you on the phone. They can't send Guido to break your thumbs. They can't do a thing. You know, you're done or they're done.
They're done.
They're
so
done.
About 100 days, if it's successful, Chapter 7, about 100 days delay stay.
And actually, if there are problems in your Chapter 7, which is not to say that someone should actually take this tactic, if there are problems in your Chapter 7, the Chapter 7 could take longer than 100 days to take place. And all during that time, there's a bankruptcy stay unless the lender does something in court to get the relief from the stay, which they can do.
Okay, so if they get relief, what delay time frame are we talking?
Well, it could be as long as the rest of your bankruptcy if they lose on the motion for relief from stay. But if you're upside down in the house, they're going to win on the motion for relief from stay, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. If you're upside down, they're going to win
right.
on the motion. How long does it take them to win that motion?
14 days.
So I only get 2 weeks.
Plus you get an extra 3 if they, you know, for things being served by mail.
So if I'm upside down on the home, bankruptcy is not going to get me that much time. 2 weeks. 17 days.
Well, no, because it takes the lender a while to get organized and do it. I have seen it happen where the lender was really intent on it, and it happened right away. But usually, the lender is not really motivated to make this motion for relief from stay because it only buys them a little, you know, a little time. And a lot of times nowadays, you know, people come in and they haven't made payments. I've seen them over the last year or two. I've seen people come in who haven't made a payment for 6 months, 8 months, yeah. 10 months, a year. They haven't paid for a long time.
Yeah, but let's go on to say that we actually don't recommend that because in the cases where we see this and we've seen people that have lived in a house for 2 years not making their mortgage payments. But at the same time, we've seen where, you know, 30 days to notice a default, 120 days to foreclosure. So, you know, this is not like the standard. This is the exception to the rule.
Absolutely, yeah. And I wouldn't recommend that anyone try to do that. I mean, it's a really anxiety-prone way
sure.
to get free rent.
Yeah, if you're trying to lose sleep, go that way, right?
That way.
Sure. I mean,
so
terrible.
Al's website, AskAttorneyAl.com, and Fair Price Bankruptcy. askattorneyal.com. Again, askattorneyal.com. Let's hope you don't find yourself in one of these situations, but it sounds like you, generalities, you have 100 days that you can buy somebody with a bankruptcy should they be doing this only for the reason of postponing a trustee sale. There are many other reasons to do it, which we'll get into. But
sure,
with respect to postponing a trustee sale, 100-ish days, that's not bad. I think you get a lot of your affairs in order in that 100 days.
Well, obviously, you're creating 3 months more of not making your mortgage payment, right?
Yes, that. One of the purposes of the bankruptcy statute at all is to give people some breathing room so they can reorganize, and sometimes they can. And the other factor that you really have to think about here is during the bankruptcy, what happens is you get rid of all the other unsecured debt at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you've gotten rid of, or almost all of it, because there's some things that can never be discharged, like guaranteed student loans and child support obligations, some debts to the government, such as fines and penalties and so on. But they get rid of a lot of their other debt. Now, that makes them a much better candidate for the mortgage, in my mind. Now, it's not wonderful for their credit rating.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. But in some sense, it's the beginning of a rebuilding. And so maybe they are 3 years or more downstream before they'll be able to get another mortgage or buy another.
Is that true, Miles?
Three years? Generally, the guidelines are 3 years.
3 years from a BK?
Yeah. From
that sounds pretty quick, really.
Yeah, you know, some lenders, it depends on the situation after the BK, too.
Of course.
Yeah, but generally the guidelines, 3 years.
What's the difference with a foreclosure?
You know, most of those are 2 to 3 years also, short sales and foreclosures.
Mm-hmm. 2 to 3. Got it. Well, that's not bad. So the helpline here, 888-551-2593, 888-551-2593. Let's hope you don't find yourself in an intimate foreclosure situation. But if you do, Attorney Al here has a method to buy you about 100 days, gives a free consultation. His website, askattorneyal.com or 888-FAIR-PRICE, askattorneyal.com or 888-FAIR-PRICE. When we come back, we're going to look at some of the other situations that can be solved by a bankruptcy, and Attorney Al here is going to advise us when we come back. AM, ESPN Radio, the Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
Big Mac David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. In studios, Miles Huber's mortgage banker guru. Miles Huber's number, 858-735-4323. Again, 858-735-4323.
The $3 billion man.
$3 billion man. He's got a loan for you with 0.5% down, or a way of getting you a loan without any docs.
You keep forgetting.
Or no ratio. Excuse
you keep
me.
Saying no money down, VA. Remember, we're a military town.
Well, sure, VA. But yeah, okay. VA, that's right. That's yes. Right. That does make sense. Mr. Gross.
Yes, sir.
Bankruptcy. We talked about how bankruptcy can postpone a trustee sale, but that's not for everybody. I mean, not everybody finds himself in that situation. So I think it's wise to speak about all the other things that bankruptcy can afford somebody. And when we spoke previously, you were really saying that if someone out there has somewhere in the vicinity of $15,000 in unsecured debt, it may be worthwhile to have a conversation with a guy like you to determine if bankruptcy is the right solution.
Well, it's always worthwhile to have a conversation because knowledge is powerful. And I give a free consultation, I'm not stingy with it. People can come and get their financial questions related to bankruptcy answered.
And would you say that someone's looking at somewhere in the vicinity of $15,000 to $20,000? It's time to, you know, you may, that's probably the lower end of where you'd want to start thinking about something like this.
Yes. Well, the issue is this. The issue is how much you are earning.
Of course.
And, you know, if $15,000 is about what you earn in a year, and there are many people out there like that, if you are in any kind of situation where your interest rates have been raised,
mm-hmm,
and the credit card companies do raise your interest rates. I think people know about that. I've seen interest rates of over 30% come across my desk. Now, that's crazy, because a person with an interest rate like that, if they made the minimum monthly payments, 35 years from now, they'd be paid off if they borrowed no more money.
So your determining factor is really if your debt is close to what you make in a year, it may be worthwhile to start talking to somebody about bankruptcy.
That could be certainly a reasonable rule of thumb. Yeah,
good enough.
It certainly could. But the important point, and you have to take a look. You know, I've had people come to my office. These people are 70 years old, and they've got these incredible interest rates on credit cards. And I asked them, I said, well, how old are you? They say, oh, 70. I say, well, that's great. When you're 104, you'll be paid off.
So that's a perfect example of how bankruptcy is going to put them in a better position, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we get questions from a lot of people these days, you know, that are curious about what they should do. And sometimes people find themselves in situations that we've had questions like, should I transfer my house to a family member? You know, this sort of thing.
Or will they take my house? Both are really good questions. Talk about those.
Okay. Well, let's start with should I transfer my house to a family member? No, and hell no. No, no, you don't want to do that. No, that won't help you. Not to a family. Not if there's any equity in the house. The family member is what you call an insider.
Like a less than arm's length transaction?
A less than arm's length transaction. And if that occurs within a year of filing the bankruptcy, then it's avoidable and it will be avoided. And the other thing that you need to look at here is that the penalty for bankruptcy fraud is 5 years in prison or $500,000. So you wow. really don't want to get too fancy, and you really should consult with an expert. Any bankruptcy attorney can tell you that there are certain pitfalls. So that one you wouldn't even want to go near. Now, the other question was,
will they take my house?
Will they take my house? You can have up to $175,000 of equity in your house if you're blind, disabled, or over 65. If you're over 55 and earn less than $15,000 a year, you can get $175,000 of equity in your house, and you can keep that amount of money if the sale goes forward. So in that instance, no one's going to sell the house. It isn't going to happen. If you're not unfortunate enough to qualify for the high end of the bankruptcy exemption for the homestead, then $100,000 of equity if you're living in that house with a member of your own family, $75,000 for a single person. But, you know, these are substantial amounts. And in today's market, where so many houses are actually upside down, it's impossible to take your house based on the bankruptcy. Now, can your lender, if you're in foreclosure, can your lender take the house after the bankruptcy's over? Absolutely, they can. They can, and under many circumstances, they would want to. But during the bankruptcy, you work on loan modification is what you do.
Sure, that makes sense. And I think to boil down your answer, it kind of seems like how much equity you have in the home is a determining factor as to whether they can take the house or not.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What if you're over 62 years old and you have a reverse mortgage that's insured by the government?
Over 62?
Yeah. A reverse mortgage is where you don't have to make a payment for life. It's insured by the government.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a reverse mortgage, and then you went into bankruptcy.
Well, with any kind of a mortgage, the real question is going to be how much equity you have. If you have equity, that equity is yours up to the amount of the bankruptcy exemptions. Anything that is below that, well, if the asset has no value, no one can take the asset, and no one can sell the asset. It has to have some value in order for it to be taken.
When you speak of equity, you're talking about your primary homesteaded home. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Up to four units if you occupy one of them.
Okay.
But Other than that, no. If you have a rental property or a vacation home, let's say, somewhere else, you're not going to be able to get the homestead exemption on that. But in the same token, if that property has no equity in it, in other words, it's upside down or maybe it's just a wash, well, it's secure to you as long as you're making the mortgage payments.
And on a reverse mortgage, you don't make a mortgage payment.
No, that's right.
So if you're upside down, it would be insured. So they wouldn't want that asset because there'd be no equity.
If you're upside down, they don't want it anymore. So you get to keep anything you're upside down on.
Oh, yes.
Makes sense.
Great
that
deal.
Makes sense because they're after money. They're after money to pay the creditors. And if there's no money because it's upside down, you get to keep it. I guess that's a silver lining.
Exactly right. And this works with automobiles as well. I mean, it's the same issue. If you just bought an automobile, if you bought it new, chances are it's worth less than what you owe on it. I mean, a very good chance of that. I mean, that happens as soon as you leave the showroom. In an instance like that, well, you keep the automobile as long as you make the payments. Now, you may have to do what's called reaffirming the debt. In fact, you pretty much do have to do that nowadays with auto loans. But you do get to keep it if you make the payments.
Make the payments. Mm-hmm. Well, Attorney Al at fairpricebankruptcy.com or 888-FAIR-PRICE has 39-point list of all the questions you should be asking about bankruptcy. We're willing to give it away. Anybody interested, the helpline here, 888-551-2593, 888-551-2593. Leave us your information. We'll make sure you get Attorney Al's 39-point, I guess it's questionnaire, about everything you should know about bankruptcy, but we're afraid to ask. Make sure you get it. See if it's right for you.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions on here, like how long does a bankruptcy take? Do we include mortgages in the bankruptcy? What will the bankruptcy do to my credit? How long will the bankruptcy be on my credit report? Will I lose all my credit cards during a bankruptcy? I mean, these are some of the questions that we actually haven't gotten to during the show that I'm sure you'd be happy to answer at that free consultation.
Consultation. And also, I'm surprised to learn that it only takes 3 years from the time I BK to going out and getting a loan. I understand that's lender specific, but that's a really short amount of time. I expected it to be 5 to 7.
I think maybe Donald Trump bought some faster.
Well, speaking of these major players in real estate, it sounds like these guys are coming out and actually acquiring quite a bit of real estate. You're acquiring real estate this time.
Yeah, like I'm a buyer right now. I think it's a good time with the prices down, the rates low, and it's cheaper to buy than to rent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you said you bought that property in Campo. It's cash flowing for you. I mean, all you got to do is repeat that process a few times, and you know, you're independently wealthy.
You could buy a few more if they cash flow at 15% or better. It's a great investment.
Fantastic.
Well, that was a really good investment. Wow.
Well, they're out there.
$75,000, rents for $1,400.
That's right.
Where is Campo?
East on 8.
San Diego?
It's somewhere out there, right?
Bring your dirt bike.
People live there.
Yeah, exactly.
If you guys, if you want to get a hold of Miles Hubers directly, call him at 858-735-4323. Again, 858-735-4323.
Al Gross at FairPriceBankruptcy.com, 888-FAIR-PRICE, and the helpline, 888-551-2593. That's the number, 888-551-2593. Thanks, gentlemen, for being here.
You bet. Thank you.
Thanks, audience,
absolutely,
for listening. It's Talk to you in a week.
Music is an influence on